Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus, so to speak, breathes on you and you receive the Holy Spirit because salvation is sealed upon you in that moment. That's why he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Why? Because he has stamped his ownership upon your soul. You will never be the same.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6. You know, if we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious choice we need to make each and every day. What does that look like in the life of the believer? Well, it's when we watch, listen, and pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us to God's purpose for our lives. You see, God tells us that we can depend on the Bible for answers. We can also rely on the Holy Spirit's power to do what we never thought was possible. You know, life really makes no sense sometimes. There are pressures on us today that we didn't see coming. But God sees everything and has everything under control. There is no outside force that can come against us that is greater than the one we have within us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our human efforts will often leave us empty inside. But when we allow ourselves to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit, our hope is renewed and our strength is restored. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And so Scripture says, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. Listen, this is after the resurrection. He's already been resurrected. Jesus appears to them supernaturally, reveals to them his scars. Isn't that amazing to think right now, my friend, in heaven above, Jesus is bearing his scars. His scars. Those scars are testimony forever and ever, his love for you. No wonder why John said when he saw heaven opened and he saw the Lamb seated upon the throne, and there in the midst of the 24 elders, the Lamb stood as though it had been slain, a mutilated Lamb. And the Bible tells in the book of Revelation that, of course, that Lamb is Jesus Christ. Jesus is scarred right now. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah, beginning at chapters 12 out to 14, that when Christ returns in the second coming to Israel, guess what? Israel, that the remnant of Israel will look when he's coming and say, where did you get these wounds in your body? Isn't that amazing? Friends, listen. Oh my goodness, my dear Jewish friends, listen to me carefully. Your prophets say that in the last days when the Messiah does come back to Jerusalem, listen, the Jews will ask him, where did you get these wounds in your body? My friends, my Jewish friends, have you ever thought about that? You say, we don't believe Jesus came the first time like you guys as Christians. Nope, we believe our Messiah is still coming. Well, he came 2,000 years ago. He's coming again. The second coming is really, to you, you're thinking the first coming, but in reality, it's called the second coming in the Bible because the first coming was him coming to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But can you explain this away? But you can't. I'm lovingly being sarcastic. I love my Jewish friends and I know how to talk to them. How is it that your Messiah, when he returns to you the first time, to us the second time, he will appear scarred up? Who said? Zechariah says. Who's he? He's in your prophets. Read your Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? Whoever the Messiah of Israel is, that when he comes to Israel, he's scarred. You've got to first be afflicted before you can be scarred. You've got to first be wounded before you can show the scars of healing. And Israel is going to announce to the Messiah, where did you get these wounds? You know what Jesus' answer is? The Bible tells us. In the Old Testament, it says he's going to say to them, these are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends, my own people, my brothers. Remarkable. Boy, did I digress. John 20, 21, and Jesus said to them again, peace be to you as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Listen, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a very cool passage. It's once in a lifetime event. This is not going to be repeated ever again. It happened then and there. You say, how do you know? We all know. Watch this. Verse 22. When he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Broke all CDC rules. He broke all California rules. He breathed on them without a mask. He went, and the Bible says he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, we know technically, write it down. I teased some of you with my Facebook post today. Here's the answer to that. He breathed on those disciples at that moment, and they, from believers, they became men filled with faith. In that moment, they were born again. Where's the first born-again experience ever mentioned in Scripture? It is mentioned in John 20:22. That's the first record of believers being born again. From that moment on, Jesus never breathed on anybody again. He didn't have to, because conversion at that moment, from that time on, was the Holy Spirit coming inside of every believer. But also in that same moment, these were commissioned to the power that was to come. When? In that moment? Oh, no. Nope, we know that for a fact. In John chapter 20, verse 22, the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of them. He saved them. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us this same group of guys on the day of Pentecost was waiting and praying, and the Holy Spirit fell, not in them, fell upon them. And that's the great important truth. In fact, turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts 1:4. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is way after the resurrection now, friends. Jesus had long since ascended back to heaven. Not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, this is an account of him just before he ascends upward. Listen to what he says. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. In other words, I'm not restoring the kingdom to Israel yet. You got some work to do, guys. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends or the uttermost parts of the earth. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Are you ready in our little chronology now? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's the 50 days after the last feast, they were all filled, or they were all with one accord, that is in one mindset. The word accord means mindset. In one place, geographically, one place and in one mind. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, and they began to speak with other tongues. That's other earthly languages. As the Spirit gave them the ability or utterance. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. Watch this, everybody. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone... This is funny. They were confused. Why? Because they didn't understand? Nope. They were confused because they did understand. Oh my goodness. You say, are you crazy? Listen, I'm going to read it to you in a moment. They were confused because they understood what was going on cannot happen naturally. Did you hear that? They were confused because what was happening cannot happen naturally. They were confused because the event was supernatural. How do you know? The Bible's going to tell us in a minute. Here we go. It says there in verse 6, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all filled with amazement and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? That's great for us to read. It's a radical insult. It's like this. Oh my goodness, we understand what these people are saying. We're so confused because these are nothing but a bunch of country bumpkins from the farmlands and fisheries of Galilee. These are uneducated, non-college degreed fishermen and farmers. What in the world is going on? What is it? Verse 8, and how is it that we hear them each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians. No Galileans understood the Parthians language, but they're speaking as though they were native born Parthians. And if that's not enough, Medes and Elamites, those from the regions of Iran, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, even Asia, they're all speaking. Can you imagine the disciples, they're talking and speaking, and Peter is speaking perfect Parthian, and he's never studied it. And all the people from Parthia were saying, oh my gosh, that guy is saying something. We understand him perfectly. Isn't that guy a Galilean? How's that happening? Supernatural power falling upon people who are desperately dependent upon God to get the gospel, the word of God, out to the ends of the earth. And God took over. Phrygia and Pamphylia, verse 10, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, so they were understanding Latin or some form of Latin, Greek, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. Wow. What is it that they heard? Why were they confused? Because we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others began to mock, saying, they're full of wine. These people are drunk. Verse 14. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the ninth hour, or the third hour, which is 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is awesome. Peter's ripping here. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That's the second coming. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That preaching of Peter out of Joel covers the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ in one moment's presentation. What's held back between those events is a comma. It's remarkable. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, church, turn all the way now to Ephesians. Ephesians. Hit the Gospels, go past John, all the way through the epistles. You're going to come to the epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. And I'm excited because I need to get through this verse, and then we need to get into the lab section of this study. Ephesians 5:17. Paul says to the believers at Ephesus, Turkey, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine. And at that you say, well, how come? Why not? Because he says, in which is dissipation. What does that mean? Don't waste your time drinking wine to get buzzed and come under the influence of something that is not sanctified by God. You'll get in trouble. You'll get into bed with somebody. You'll make some dumb decisions. You'll get behind your donkey, crash it into the oncoming camels. You'll go crazy. You drink wine, you start gambling. You're not even a gambler. You drink wine, you start messing around. I was on a jury case of a man who, was a physician. He was an alcoholic, we later learned, who lost control of his vehicle while under the influence, crashed into a house and killed a baby that was sleeping in bed. And I was on a murder, it turned out to be a murder trial. He was being tried for murder. And I never forget, the state's witness was a forensic scientist, and the man gave testimony to what happens to the human physiology and the mind when we come under the influence of drugs or alcohol. And I found it fascinating. Guess what? The first thing that that expert said, that when we come under the influence of intoxicating elements, he said the first thing that goes out the door is your ability to make reasonable judgments. Number two is a decrease in inhibitions. So you start, first thing, bad decision making. Number two, which is moments behind it, is your moral rudder goes out the window. Your pants go down, your top goes off, you're in the back seat of a car, you're making horrible decisions under the influence. You'll do things to the extreme under the influence. Notice what he's saying. Don't waste your time being possessed by silly things that eventually dissipate. You sweat it out or you eliminate it. He says, don't do that, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. This is the key, you guys. It's right there in verse 18. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Guess what, friends? Listen up. This is good news. The word means be being filled again and again and again and again and again by or with the Holy Spirit for power. If your name is Zerubbabel, listen up. Not by might nor by power, but by the Holy Spirit is the might and the power, not by human effort. How do you live this life as a Christian? Not by your power, not by your righteousness, no way, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely fascinating and awesome. So listen, get your questions. I think we have time for some questions. Listen, the Holy Spirit right now, if you're not a Christian, the Holy Spirit is standing over here. The Holy Spirit is over here saying to you, you better turn to Christ the Son and you better find out the gospel. If you were listening to Jack earlier, he said that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you die, you're going to go straight to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell, but you need to get the life vest, the parachute. You need to get Christ. You need to get your sins forgiven. So he is saying, come to me. And he's convicting you. That's one of the functions and the primary functions of the Holy Spirit. Then when you say yes to the Holy Spirit, he moves inside. He comes inside of you. Jesus, so to speak, breathes on you and you receive the Holy Spirit because salvation is sealed upon you in that moment. That's why he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Why? Because he has stamped his ownership upon your soul. You will never be the same. That's why, listen, if you're backslidden tonight as a Christian, only Christians can be backslidden. Non-believers cannot. The backslidden Christian tonight, you're miserable and you know it. You put on more makeup or you try to get a new suit and you look like a dork. You're all messed up. You can suit up and paint up. Doesn't change the fact that you're so miserable. Why? Because you're playing in the kingdom marbles with your soul. You need to get back to God. Why? Because he's inside of you. But Jesus is talking about, and Paul is talking about, the Holy Spirit coming upon you for power. This is for every believer. And you have to be a born-again believer to experience this coming upon power. And yet the Bible says over and over again, be filled again and again with this power. EPI is the Greek word, the coming upon power, the epi experience of the Holy Spirit. How many times do I experience it? Innumerable amount of times. Well, how many times do I experience getting saved? That's only one time. One time. One time, you're set. Holy Spirit for power? Coming upon every day. And by the way, I got to tell you, you want to get hooked on the Holy Spirit? Put yourself in the position of serving God wherever you're at in the world. Become so dependent upon him that you can't do this. I got to tell you, church, listen, look, I'm not being paid extra to tell you what I'm about to tell you. I have learned from the wonderful Bible teaching that I grew up under that it's best to place yourself before God to be used, is as scary, as uncomfortable as it is. Why? Because it's in that moment of desperation, the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon the needy and uses them to advance the gospel. My dear friend, listen, I want to live like that to the day I die. Oh no, that's terrifying. We should never fear nothing again, anything. The church is going to do fine in California. In fact, I think God's going to show us a little favor somehow. We're being slammed. Just wait. Just wait till King Jesus shows up and the Holy Spirit's poured out. It's going to be awesome. I'm waiting. But you must be willing to present yourself to a place where you can be used by God, and it's a total fearful, terrifying moment. And then his power comes and you'll never look back. So ask like you learned a moment ago. He's not going to give you a stone. He's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you a rock. He's going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope this makes sense. We can pick it up next time together. A questioner asked from 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. How can Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses call Jesus Lord if they don't have the Holy Spirit? Great question. This is awesome. Brilliant question. Listen up, everybody. The Mormons do call Jesus Lord, and so do the Muslims, and so do the Jehovah's Witnesses, so do a lot of people. In fact, Paul the Apostle says there are many lords. Listen, here's the answer. To say that Jesus is Lord and to have him as Lord is very much two different things. God only hears that Jesus is Lord from those who have the Spirit of God in them. Entertainers can call Jesus Lord. That doesn't mean they're saved. Anybody can say anything. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 and 21, 22, that in the last days, there'll be many of those in the day of judgment who say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do miracles in your name? And Jesus said, I'm going to turn to them and say, I never knew you. Wow. It means, listen, everybody can call Jesus Lord, but you can't call Jesus as Lord in reality and in lifestyle unless Jesus is in fact the Lord of your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6. Thanks for joining us today. You know, The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 6, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life as we look to God's Word for all the answers, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you have a close friend who's different from you in almost every way? A friendship that on the outside seems unlikely, but on the inside, it makes perfect sense. Well, there once was a printer and a preacher who came from separate countries and followed different philosophies, but not only became fast friends, but they were two of the most famous men in America. The printer was hardworking, inventive, often quite funny and yet practical with humble manners. And the preacher, on the other hand, he was boisterous, often gathering outdoor crowds by the thousands, proclaiming that you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. Who were these two men who together established both the spiritual and the social foundations for young America? Pastor Jack's book of the month for October is The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson. It's the story of the powerful and amazing friendship of Benjamin Franklin and George Whitefield. The Printer and the Preacher is not only inspiring, but it's a book that you'll want to get an extra copy of to share with your close friend. And who knows, maybe together you can help make the world a better place as you share the love of Jesus Christ to those around you. The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.